Welcome to the She Connects podcast. My name is Susan VandenHeuvel, and I am honored to be your host each and every week. This is an extension of my ministry, She Rises, that allows me to connect with women in the online space. You can learn more about me and my ministry at www.sherisesmn.org or simply tap the link in the show notes. But for now, let's dive into this week's episode. Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. I'm so excited that you're here, and I'm really excited about this new mini series that we are having here on the podcast, Women in Leadership. I started doing a mini series specifically tailored to being a female, being a woman in leadership, probably a couple of years ago now, and it's really resonated and landed well with women. And so it's a brand new year. We're recording this in January of 2024. So why not do it again? It's definitely a topic that is always relevant, always on time. It never expires. And so I wanted to invite you to just lean in, take notes, and maybe even push the pause button to go back and re-listen, and maybe even share with somebody that you know would be encouraged and feel seen and valued through this conversation. Allow me to introduce you to my friend, Melissa Mashburn. Welcome back to the show. Tell us a little bit about you, where you're joining us from.
I am so happy. We've literally been doing the happy dance since we started talking about this. I think it's been a year or two since I was on and we talked all things leadership. So thank you for having me back. You know, this is like a passion topic for me, so I cannot wait to dig in. So you said I'm Melissa Mashburn. I am a pastor, author, speaker, and the executive director of the private Facebook community called Ministry Chick, where over 3,500 women worldwide come together to get the resources and connections they need to thrive as a female leader in the church. I also wrote a book called Ministry Chick, Find Your Community, Own Your Leadership, and Take Your Step for Women in Ministry. And it's really a ministry guide. It's kind of the thing that I wish I had when I started in ministry, juggling family, juggling being married, juggling being the only woman in the room, and so many things. But not just that, like that you were made for more and how to do that. So that's the Finding Your Community, Owning Your Leadership, and Taking Your Steps. So I love being able to take those things from the book, plus the community, and coach and champion women in ministry leadership anywhere and everywhere I get a chance.
Yeah, so good. And make sure, ladies, that you are checking out the show notes, because all of the links to not only connect with Melissa in the online space, but also find that book. It's an incredible resource that I know will add value to your life and to your leadership. So be sure that you're checking the show notes for those links and how you can grab a hold of a copy, not only for yourself, but maybe for other women that you know would also benefit from that resource. So let's dive right in, because those of you that have been around the podcast, you maybe have attended She Rises, or even you know me personally, or even just a little bit, you know that I don't spend a whole lot of time in the shallow end of the pool. I like to dive right in, and that's exactly where we're starting, is on the deep end of the pool. So we're talking about being a woman in leadership. Let's start off right away, Melissa. How do you define leadership?
I think I love this. And you're going to hear me say that like a billion times, but I think leadership is kind of one of those words that people don't completely understand. And I know we're going to talk about this a little bit more, but I define leadership as basically we're all called to lead, right? We're all called to serve. We're all on mission, right? As women, as believers, we're all on mission. So we all have a job that we're supposed to do. We are to tell people about Jesus, right? In our everyday, ordinary life. So we are essentially leading. Leading is just where people follow. It's influence. But when you say influence, even that sounds like, oh, well, you got to have 40,000 Instagram followers and 90,000 page likes, and you got to go viral. No. Influence, you have influence wherever you are. If people come to you and ask you for stuff or ask your opinion or ask your thoughts. So I'm a firm believer that we all have influence What we do with that influence is the difference maker. So we all have the opportunity to be leaders.
That is a fantastic definition. I love that you have already broken down any narratives that we easily slip into about what a leader looks like. You have to have so many followers, or I have to attend this course, or I have to have this degree or anything like that. So we're already getting that out of the way, which leads me to the next question. Why do you think so many women don't see themselves as leaders?
This has been my thing for like the last 6 to 8 months. It's the drum I'm beating on. I've done some reels. I've talked about it. I think, and it honestly surprised me, Susan, that because I have identified as a leader and probably most of my life, back then I was called bossy, strong-willed, stubborn, and they weren't compliments when people said them, but they were literally like signs of my leadership and my strength. And so I kind of feel like I've always identified as a leader in a way, but in hearing over this last year that so many women don't identify as a leader, it's really kind of taken me a little moment to kind of shake my head and go, okay, wait, what? And I think that they don't. And this is just my interpretation. I think a lot of women don't, like I said, because you think of, when you think of a leader, you think of like C-suite executive, somebody that's got a title, somebody that's got the corner office and, you know, 40 staff members or went to this Ivy League school or all these other things, or like we said, all the followers and stuff. When in reality, you're a leader when you lead your family. You're a leader when you lead a Bible study at church. You're a leader when you serve on the parking team or the ushers or the greeters or the first impressions team or in kids ministry. You are leading in all of those places. And I think we just get so hung up, women, right? We get so hung up on what we think it's supposed to be that we don't even identify that, hey, wait, I'm a leader. I do that. And so I even wrote about it the other day, like, okay, so you don't like the word leader. Well, what about, and I listed a whole bunch of different other words that we do, but you're leading in so many places in car line and PTA and homeroom, making snacks, baking goods, creating meal trains for people you are leading. And so I think if you hear nothing else today is you are a leader. So let's embrace it and do some good with it.
So good. Embracing it, leaning into it, and recognizing that God has placed these things, these gifts on the inside of us. And I think probably a whole separate topic, but even leading from that place unapologetically, that, you know, I think that so often, and I'm sure that many women probably were nodding their head when you were listing some of the things that we can hear that we're too assertive, we're too aggressive, we're, you know, all these different things. And so then we begin to sort of shrink back. We sort of withdraw. Our voice feels muzzled and we begin to question, ooh, you know, maybe I'm not cut out for this. Maybe I'm not a leader. Maybe I need to revisit this. And so all of these different things is just, it's so important. I think this topic is really so important. And I think that also, it ties into, we all face obstacles. There's always, sometimes, I always say that sometimes the mountain that needs to be moved is on the inside of us. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into that here shortly. But what are some of the biggest obstacles that have held you back from believing that you are a leader? And then don't stop there. Tell us how you overcame those. Because I think that that's important. We can sort of pull the shades back and we can raise our hand and say, me too. I've felt that. I've experienced that. But then let's not just leave people with that. But also, here's what I found. Here's what God helped me with to be able to take steps forward, continue going forward and overcome those obstacles. Mm-hmm.
Well, I would also say that, you know, I'm going to share some of my obstacles and stuff, but I would also say, you know, there's a ton of great research out there and some of the books that I've read and have been reading since this all came up. One of them was like the confidence code. And they were talking about, and Katie Cole has talked about this, and I've heard it in other places as well, about how women's confidence peaks at 9 years old. We are the most confident that we'll ever be, right? And so there's a ton of research on this and data. It's not just a feeling. It's not just something I've heard. And men's doesn't peak until like their 50s and 60s. Uh-huh. Yeah. Wow. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? But so I won't go too deep into this because it's kind of, you know, but part of that is hormonal, right? So at that age, when we start to become a woman and all of those other things, our body is washed with hormones, and those hormones kind of make us defer to this kind of nurturer, caregiver, kind of take the back seat, don't want to rock the boat, and all of that other stuff. So there's some science and data behind it. So if you've thought, oh my goodness, like I was fearless as a kid, you probably were, right? You probably really, really were. And so for me, I think some of the biggest obstacles that held me back from believing I was a leader, I took those things that people said to me in those formative years, and they held me back because I was like, wait, I had a fourth grade teacher tell me, who do I think I was? Like I said, I was bossy. I was strong-willed. I was stubborn. All of these other things that family members had said to me and teachers, right? And so then they kind of just started to pile on me, and I'm like, oh, I've been called extra and too much and all of those other things. And I think they just start to pile on, and you start to believe that. You start to believe the lies. And when we talk about battlefield of the mind and all of these other things, you start to believe those things because they've been just layered on you for so long that you're like, yeah, I am too much. Yeah. And so I think the biggest obstacle that held me back was me and myself and finally kind of coming out of this cocoon of, wait, no, that's not what God says. God says I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God says I am his. God, you know, God doesn't make junk. I went through the whole thing, and I had to just start like renewing, you know, my life verses, Romans 12:2. I just started renewing my mind and was like digging in on the word. I'm like, that's not true. That's not true. Or maybe it is true, but he made me that way, and he doesn't make junk, and there's got to be a reason. And then understanding like my own gifts and my skills and realizing, oh my gosh, I have a really high leadership gift. Like it's a legitimate gift from the Spirit. And so understanding, got to do some research, got to do some understanding. Overcoming is kind of going back to that. A lot of prayer, a lot of counseling, a lot of just really digging in on my real identity, not what the world told me my identity was. What is my real identity? What does God say about me? And then once I got that grounded, I was kind of free to just kind of just launch from it. Like, oh, it really, so Romans 12, 2 has that, you know, transform, be transformed. Well, transform is like metamorphosis, and metamorphosis always ties me back to the butterfly, right? And so the butterfly is kind of coming out. That's what it felt like. It felt like coming out of the cocoon of this dark, hard place of all these things that people said, which, and then free to just be me. Like, okay, I am a leader. That's not a bad thing. And what am I going to do with it? It's kind of like, it's my superpower. Am I going to use it for good and for his glory, or I'm going to use it for me, or right? So it's kind of, those were how, and the obstacles and how I kind of worked through them.
So good. I think that there are so many things that we could separately unpack in what you just shared. I mean, there's a whole topic on identity and being secure in that. Most definitely making God's voice the loudest in our lives, because if we're honest, not everybody's going to understand what God has called you to and the gifts that are on the inside of you. And not everybody's going to appreciate your leadership and your, you know, the boldness and the confidence that we can have in our leadership, and to not allow that to cause us to shrink back or to lose our voice. There is a lot of growth that needs to take place. And I think I would also encourage anybody listening, because if I was in my younger years, if I was tuning in, I would want to hear this. And so I'm just believing that somebody's maybe tuning in because it's on my heart to share. Give yourself grace. Give yourself grace. Be patient with yourself. These things that we're talking about, we didn't learn them overnight. We didn't just wake up one day and all of a sudden we've arrived. And I definitely don't want to speak for you, Melissa, but I know for myself, some of these things are still being developed in me, because I am a firm believer that we continue to learn, we continue to grow, things are continually being developed within us, and the Lord is continuing to show us things that we can come up higher in, and that's a good thing. It's not in a way that God is trying to condemn. It's a good thing. So be kind to yourself, extend grace to yourself, because you're worth that. So let's talk about being in specific types of environments. I firmly believe that insecure leaders are dangerous leaders. And yes, I said it. Yes, I did just say that. They often hold others back from stepping forward, because there's probably many reasons, but for sure, right at the top, they are often insecure about their own identity in Christ and their role as a leader. And so my question to you, it's probably a loaded question, but we're at the deep end of the pool. So I want to know, in the listening community, I know that I have experienced this. And so my question to you is, have you experienced this yourself?
Oh my gosh. I would love to say no. Like, oh no, I don't even know what you're talking about, Susan. I've never seen this before. Unfortunately, I've had my whole career has been in the ministry at the local church, and I've seen it there. And it's hard and confusing. I also want to say, off of what you said, 100%, just you may hear confidence in me right now. That's because I'm passionate about what we're talking about. It does not mean I don't still battle the things that I said that I battled. It's not a one and done. It is I probably will to the day I die, because I haven't yet. I haven't conquered them. So I thank God I'm not where I was, and I'm looking forward to where I'm going in those situations. So just know that, and that kind of plays into experiencing it, the insecure leaders, how did it affect me, and how to overcome it. I can very clearly remember in one of my ministry seasons, I felt like the square peg that didn't fit in a round hole. I tried everything I could to fit in. I tried to be friends. I tried to support. I tried to do all the things, to the point of not being authentic to myself. And that's where I drew the line. And I was like, I have done the mask and tried to be everything to everybody, and I am not doing that any longer. So I can hold firm on that. How did it affect me? I can remember specifically one day going out to my car and calling one of my best friends. We've been friends for over 20 years. And I called her crying and said, "Why don't people like me?" And she's like, "What is going on?" And I started to just download with her, and she goes, "Okay, you know that's not true, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I don't know." And she's like, "No, that is not true. You cannot let them steal your joy. You cannot let their," and it was insecurity as a female leader coming in and having a higher position than the other women on staff. Some embraced me, some didn't. And even some of the men didn't even know what to do with that. I've been doing this for 25 years. So I've kind of walked this journey. It's not like I'm brand new and I'm trying to figure out what my gifts and my skills are. I came in like pretty strong and confident. Here's what I bring to the table. Here's what I know that I'm good at. Here's how I can help. And I don't think that they were used to that. And so I needed to probably have a little bit more grace with them, kind of getting used to a strong female leader, but the insecurity of the leaders around me just started to become very smothering. And it was hard, and it was not fun. And not because work is supposed to be fun, but there's a side of ministry. Yeah, it's hard and heavy, but it should also be fun. What you're doing, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Like, you should be having fun as well. I think overcoming it, again, I'll go back to counseling. I'm a huge advocate for a Christian counselor. That my counselor is somebody that has been in the ministry, so she understands. Mm-hmm. It's a husband and wife team, so I talk to both of them at different times. So they get it, the different things, counseling, and then having a safe place of people that I could talk to and like, hey, is this, am I reading? Am I just being sensitive? Maybe it's not that big of a deal. And then when other people, third party people that are not directly involved are like, you know, that doesn't feel right. That doesn't sound right. That doesn't, you know, people that love you, that are for you. I always talk about finding your community. When you listen to those people, these need to be people, not just your yes people, but the people that will speak the truth and love to you.
Right.
So, you know, the iron sharpening iron relationships. So when they said, oh, Melissa, no, that's not true. You know, that's not healthy, right? You know, and I was like, okay, so it's not just me. I'm not just being emotional. I'm not just doing all these other things. And so it allowed me to kind of call it out. Mm-hmm. Talk to HR about it, handle a few things, and then decide, do I stay or go? Because it's not going to change.
Yeah.
And so what's better for my health, my state of being, all those other things, and then figuring that out. So it's kind of like here's a great example. When you go to the doctor, you have to be an advocate for yourself, especially if you've ever been in the hospital. Right? If you've ever been in the hospital for multiple days, like all the doctors and nurses, as amazing as they are, they have multiple patients. They work long hours. They have a whole bunch of things going on. You are with the one patient and you're with them all day long. So you know better than you. I know myself better than anybody else other than God and my husband, right? Mm-hmm. So being an advocate for yourself, kind of, it's not easy, but it's the same kind of thing. You kind of have to advocate yourself and realize that sometimes you got to do the hard thing, right?
Yeah. Oh, so good. I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I think we can falsely believe that if we advocate for ourselves, that we're being self-centered, we're being too assertive. And if we can help you to reframe that yeah. You're actually valuing yourself, you're valuing how God created you. I think that that's definitely a part of loving yourself well and understanding that you matter too, and that it's not being selfish. I think back to, thank you. First of all, thank you for being willing to share your personal experience. I remember one time for me being so excited to join the team. I mean, I was excited to be there, excited to be invited to be a part of this. And so I came in with all of this enthusiasm, and it didn't take long for that to start to, the little pin was popping my balloon. and just feeling like my ideas, or maybe if I had a different perspective, I just assumed that we could share those, and that, you know, all ideas were appreciated and welcomed and, you know, considered, unless you're, you know, way out in left field somewhere. But I think receiving feedback in that those things were being disrespectful and dishonoring. And so then I didn't really know how to deal with that. And I didn't know what to do with that, because then I started to think, oh, I don't have good ideas, or I'm thinking wrong, or I'm immature, or I'm don't have the same kind of wisdom that somebody else does that is also on the team. And so then I don't know what your experience is, but then I found myself, I just was pretty much silent. I didn't share anything then, because I didn't know what was welcomed, or, you know, I started to think anything that I had to share was just inappropriate or unwise or whatever. And I think that just that overcoming piece is, I love that you pointed out having a safe community, people that understand, because it is easy for me anyway, I don't know about you, but to get lost in my headspace because I start to, you know, just roll these things over and over and over, and it's me, it's me, it's me. And then I think remembering not only through God using these people in my life, but also just sitting with him and fleshing this out with the Lord, he helped me to understand that our ideas, our perspective, they might be different, but they're not wrong. That was huge for me. That was really, really big for me. And I think that that helped me to be able to overcome some of the things that had been said and some of the experiences there. And we know that God is so good. He's so faithful, and that he never wastes anything, even the most difficult of situations, as challenging as they are. And so we're grateful for that. And we definitely want to rejoice and be thankful in that. And then, because knowing that he doesn't waste anything, what are your thoughts on how we can grow in unhealthy environments?
Oh, well, and yes, he doesn't waste anything. And I'm so grateful. I don't know about rejoicing when I'm in it. So yeah. I'll rejoice after, when I'm in it, I got all their emotions at play at that point. And you also said something very interesting about different. And so this is another theme that keeps coming up with me lately, is different. It's not necessarily good or bad, and it's not necessarily right or wrong. It's just different. So different expectations, different outcomes, different ways people do things. And it, that's been a wrestle topic, honestly, for probably the last 6-7 months as well. So I love that you put that on your heart. How you asked me, how can we grow even in unhealthy environments? I think there's a couple of things that we can do. I think that there's a self-awareness is huge. You know, what is my part in this? What part am I playing, and what do I need to work on? And so you really want God to mess with you. You do that prayer, like create in me a pure heart, cleanse me with hyssop, make me white as snow prayer. And he will. Yes, he will. Cause I've prayed that one. I still pray that one. But it's kind of like a little scrub brush in there. He's like, I'm cleaning you out. Let's go. But I think we need to be aware. What's our part? What is, like I said earlier, maybe we have some baggage. Maybe we have some baggage that has been piled up on us. And so we have trigger points. Maybe we have some wounds that we haven't allowed to heal. Maybe we haven't done the work. Maybe we haven't sat with them. So I think we can grow in those unhealthy environments when we seek the help that we need, whether, like I said, whether it's your friend community, like, not the, yeah, you're awesome people, like the, oh no, you got spinach in your teeth, that was a little wrong, you should have done, you know, like the people that love you that are going to say the hard things to you because they love you, people, having those people, having counselors, and then making sure you're doing the work of reflection and study, and God, what are you trying to say to me through this? Like, what, if it's a recurring thing, like, why does this keep happening? My whole thing is like, what do I need to learn so that we can move on from this? Cause yeah, this has happened multiple times. So show me what it is so I can fix it and we can move to a different topic. Cause right. I know other things to work on. So, and I would also say, and we're talking unhealthy, not unsafe. I want to clarify, unhealthy, you have stuff to work on. Unsafe, do the work to get out, to get to a safe place, to, and I'm not, whatever that looks like, because it can be unsafe in different ways, right? So I want to clarify that. But even in unhealthy and just in a practical sense, besides all the work, the personal work that we have to do, I would tell you, practically speaking, keep a record of everything. Everything that you need to have a record of that just doesn't feel right. And it's funny because I actually started doing that and didn't know that I was doing that. And and I was like, oh, and they're like, oh, what do you mean? And hold on. I have all kinds of notes from it. It wasn't just how I felt. it was facts. And people don't always know what to do with how you feel. But when you give them facts and data, you can't argue with that.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you brought that up. I think that also if we are taking those notes, you know, to your point, I think that it, I can see how it would help us to bring some reassurity to ourselves that, okay, I'm not blowing this up. This is not just in my head. I'm not, you know, exaggerating this, and because I can go back, you know, This isn't just an isolated, oh, they were having a bad day, you know, no, this has been a habit. It's been part of the environment here. Yeah. And then I also want to circle back to something that you said about, is there maybe some baggage possibly? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's so important because if there are unhealed areas of our heart, or maybe there's an offense, you know, we've been offended by something that hasn't been resolved within us, those things will always be the filter in which we hear and experience things. Oftentimes how we hear and experience people. And, you know, we're talking about serving on teams, you know, it could be a team, a staff at your church. It could be a ministry team, or, you know, you're co-leading something. And I just think that that's really important because you want to be able to hear what is really being said without the filter of that wound, and hear what's being said without offense from something else. And I just think that that is so important. And I think I really appreciate you bringing that up. And I think also, I just keep reinforcing your points. I think that those trusted people that you know that they can ask you the hard questions, they can challenge some things that you're sharing, you know, narratives that you are sort of stuck in, and you receive it not as they're against me, or they are, you know, they don't like me, or now I'm going to be mad at you. It's you trust them and you've allowed them into that space for a reason, because you trust them and you've built trust, you've built a rapport with them. And so even when they ask those challenging questions, you know their heart, you know that they're for you, and their heart in asking those questions is pure, not to condemn you, not to, you know, push you down or anything like that, but they want to see you succeed. They want to see you win. They want to see you thrive in whatever it is that God has called you to. So good. Let's talk about the difference between developing others and directing others, because I do believe that those are two different things. There's a difference in that one comes alongside a person to help develop their leadership, and the other can feel like we're simply cogs in a wheel, just simply helping someone else reach their goals. So what are your thoughts about that? And I'm just curious, would you also see a difference in developing versus just simply directing?
100%. 100%. I think, and the beauty of being a leader, right, is you have the opportunity to do both, right? Because we have things that we have to get done.
Right.
Projects, events, Bible studies, whatever it is, wherever God's called us, if we're leading and we are leading other people, right, there's things that we get done. That's like we're moving forward on mission. So there is some directing. And gosh, I hope nobody ever feels like they're simply on a cog on the wheel of helping me or somebody I'm leading with, like, reach my goals. The goal for me is like, that we're all moving forward on mission together. I love collaborating, and I want to make sure that everybody feels the win. And as a leader, I should be giving a compelling vision as to why we're doing something like this and how we all win together. So yes, there is some directing that takes place because certain people have to be at different places. You got to know who does what well and all that. But the difference is in developing others, then you take it a step further. Developing others isn't just about getting stuff done. it's not just about what I need done, what we need accomplished. Yeah, that there's stuff that has to be done, but it's also leaning into people individually, finding out what makes them tick. What are your gifts? What are your skills? What are your strengths? What are your passions? It takes time, right? And we just want to bypass the time because we got to get stuff done.
Right.
So it's important to double back and realize that the development happens in relationship, right? You think about the most powerful people you've ever seen or heard of, they didn't do it alone. They didn't do it alone. I don't care who they are. There were other people on that team with them that helped propel them up to their success. And so that is getting to know people enough to develop. That's the, I see in you, that's fanning the flame. Hey, you're really good at this. Why don't you focus on that? You're really good at this. Why don't you focus on that? So yeah, there's a little bit of directing, but there's also, hey, there's this book, here's this resource, let's do this together kind of thing. There's a difference. It's almost like a both and. Unfortunately, I don't think that the both always happens.
Right.
So it's, but hey, you're listening to this. You are a leader. You can do this. You can do the both and do the developing and the directing so that everybody that you are leading in whatever way, shape, or form that God has allowed you to lead people, that you are pouring in, but you're also getting stuff done because we like to get stuff done, don't we?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's so good. So my question, just going a little bit further with this, developing and directing, how to maybe someone that's listening today, okay, so maybe they're in an environment where they feel like they would like to be further developed. Maybe they can see, they recognize within their area that they're leading, I feel like I need to grow in this particular area. How can we confidently approach the leaders over us and say, I feel like I need some further development in this. Is there a resource? Tell us a little bit about that.
I'm so excited you're asking this question because I love this. This is actually part of even the book. This is what I call owning your leadership, because the majority of the time people don't actually just come up to you like, hey, Susan, you're doing a great job. Here's $1,000. Go do a course or webinar or get some coaching. It does happen to some people. I do know that. But for the most part, it doesn't happen that way. And so we have to be proactive and say, this goes back to awareness. Here's what I'm good at. Here's what I would like to work on. Here's my strengths and my weaknesses. And here's what I need to do. And so I've been working on even just creating a professional development plan. You can do these personal development plan, but a professional development plan that says like, here's where I am. And here's where I want to go. And here's how I'm going to get there. And it's all in how you present it. It's here's what your boss wants to know, right? Or those that are leading, that are in charge of your budget or whatever. How is this going to affect X, your organization? How is this going to benefit me? They care about you, but bottom line is if they're going to put the money out of the budget, how is this going to improve things here? And so when you are crafting and when you're asking, I always would say, bring a PDP, professional development plan, with you. Don't just say it, because let's face it, it's hard. It can be really hard to ask for those things because there's money. And then we're like, oh, I should be grateful. I have a job. The economy stinks. All of a sudden, like we wrestle with all that, right? So going in prepared with a document that you hand them, that you walk them through and talk them through, takes all of the emotion out of it, you know, all of our fear and anxiety, and you're basically walking through a professional development plan with them. Here's what I found. Here's what blah, 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 blah. And you lay it out. I also believe, so I've gotten very specific with that. I've created even one for a new coaching group that I'm doing that starts next week. I created one that basically the women just have to print off or forward to their boss, because I am talking directly to them. This is what you get when you invest in the women on your team.
Wow.
Boom, 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 boom. Because I know it took me probably 15 years to ask, right? I don't want anybody else to wait 15 years before they ask. So here's how you do it. And then other times, so that one's very specific. It's worded towards them. I have it free in the Ministry Chick community. If anybody wanted it, it's there. But I also think that you can do a simplified, like a three-tier version. So I'm a big fan, swing for the fence. Here's the most expensive thing, the thing that if the heavens opened up, this would be the thing you'd be doing. And then the bare minimum. So you got like the three layers, you know, red light, yellow light, green light kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And give them options. Like here's my minimum. This is what I minimum would need. Here's like happy medium. And here's like, you want to blow my doors off? You want to really make things happen this year? Then let me do this. So mm-hmm. there's two different ways that I've done it. One is bringing them a one sheet, always one sheet. They don't need more than that. The PDP that I created is longer, but it's because it's graphic. It's not graphic, like not a graphic novel, but it's graphically designed so that it's appealing, mm-hmm. visually appealing, aesthetically appealing, and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. If it's just a Word doc, keep it one page because they're not going to read all that.
Right.
All that. So then you can stick to that, but come prepared.
Yeah.
Just, like I said, owning your leadership, come prepared and walk them through it. And then you're not trying to figure it out on the fly.
Right. Right. So good. Really great. Really great tips there. I would also encourage those of us that are leading teams, let's make sure that we are making ourselves available, personable, people that can, you know, are the people that we're leading, they feel comfortable reaching out to us. And then let's make the time, especially if they are expressing, I just feel like I need developing in this area. I recognize I need to grow. And so that should be something that's celebrated. We want that. And that's something great. And so let's make ourselves available. And then I think that that ties into some of that directing too. I know that when people on my lead team approach me, we're maybe doing something new or offering something new, and that directing piece that I'm responsible for in effectively communicating, this is what we're going, this is our end goal, this is what we're, you know, the kind of whatever we're doing, helps them then to be able to lead more confidently because I'm communicating and giving some direction that this is where we're going, this is what we're doing. And I think that I just think that we have a responsibility to not only make ourselves available and then effectively communicate this is the direction, because it helps them, because otherwise they're wandering around. Oftentimes, I don't know if this is what she wanted. I hope that this is, you know, kind of throwing spaghetti against the wall and seeing what sticks. And we don't want that. We want people to lead confidently. So finally, in learning the importance of helping develop others in their leadership, how do we keep from promoting a person too soon? I know that this is a loaded question, because I do know that the Bible says that our gift makes room for us. Absolutely. But I do believe that it's our character that's going to keep us in the room. So have at it.
I have seen this so many times, and oh man, it's so hard to watch because you can almost see it coming. And then you're like, oh, why? You get a young leader, or not even, I'm not talking age, I'm talking just a young leader, somebody that's new to leading in the church space or whatever. And they are dynamic, or they get things done, or they're like control, and they just have that oomph, right? But they're a young leader in so much as they're newer to the faith. And so now they're operating out of their gift, but they're not operating out of the Spirit. And so they are really doing all the work themselves. And like you said, the character is what keeps us in the room. And so they will only go so far and they will collapse. We are not doing anyone a favor by promoting people before God is ready for them to be promoted. Yes. We can develop, we can direct, we can encourage, we can mentor, we can train, all of those things we should be doing. But when we're setting them up to fail, because they're going to have success because they're get it done people, right? They're get it done people, things are happening, they're making a difference. I keep thinking of, there was that guy in the Bible and I just lost his name. It's not one of the guys, right? So, but he was like a, Oh, it was, yeah, it's not the same story, but I was thinking about even Apollos. When Apollos started, he was very powerful in his message, but Priscilla and Achaia had to pull him aside and kind of correct him a little bit and set him back straight. That wasn't who I was originally thinking of, but that is another example. But there was another person that was out there preaching, but they weren't preaching the truth, and they weren't solid in that. So I think we just do people a disservice. We do them a disservice. We do the church a disservice and the organization a disservice, because we're not just allowing them time to grow. It's that 1 Corinthians 3:6, I planted seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. Like their seed was just planted. It's time to water. Like,
right.
Not shoot out and say, okay, you're going to do all these things. Oh, by the way, you're doing announcements, or you're doing this or whatever. And they're like, okay, I mean, I've only been coming for 3 weeks, but I got it.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And so just a couple of questions. First one being, why do you think we put people in positions before they're ready? What, I mean, is it, do you think it's to fill a void, fill a need? Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, we can get, I don't want to overgeneralize, but we can get so focused on the needs that we forget that every need, every spot, just like every person that comes, every number on the weekend is a person, is a family, is a story. And so we get so focused on, okay, well, I need 27 volunteers for this, and I need 14 for that. All right, well, I mean, they've been coming for 4 weeks, so, and they're super fun and engaging, and they love Jesus for 4 weeks, right? And then we forget the follow-up. Like, I don't necessarily think it's horrible that they get to serve and do all these other things, but if we're not just continuously watering at the same time, then they're operating out of their gifts and not out of his gift. Does that make sense?
Very good. Yep. And so I'm thinking about the person listening today that is perhaps leading something within her church, different area in her church, maybe a women's ministry, or even she has her own ministry and she's considering inviting so-and-so to join her and be a part of. So let's talk a little bit, just real briefly, what is the fruit that we're looking for before we, of course, we're praying, of course. I mean, that's just a given that we're praying and we're inviting the Lord into that decision-making. Of course, that's a given, but what is the fruit that we are looking for in someone that we are considering inviting to be a part of our ministry?
That's a big question. Big question, because we do want to invite people. We do want to bring people along. We do want to invest in them being a part of things. And that's how I got into ministry. That's how I got invited to serve with somebody or to cover something or something like that. I wasn't ready and I wasn't prepared. What happened is in that, I think that's fine, is the constant development, the constant, the watering, the constant feeding, the nurturing, the checking in, the resourcing and things like that. The fruit comes from a life that, well, you go through the fruits of the spirit,
right.
All of those, but there's this, it's hard to even quantify, honestly, because it's a maturity, right? When you can see, and there's visual fruit, but you can also feel the depth.
There's a depth
to the person that doesn't happen when they're operating out of themselves. How's that? Because when you're operating out of yourselves, you're doggy paddling, right? You're just go, and doing all the things because you're using your power and not his power. When you're kind of abiding in him, right? When you're grafted to the vine, you may work hard and you may hustle and do all those things, but there's a confidence and there's a peace about you that sits on you. And so it might be crazy, it might be hectic, but you're like, doesn't matter. God called me to do it. He's going to work through it. And that doesn't happen without time.
Right.
Time.
Mm-hmm. So good. I feel like we could just continue on. There's so many layers to this conversation. And I don't know, maybe we'll have to revisit this again, the both of us. But any final thoughts, encouraging words, or anything that is just on your heart to share with women who are listening today?
Yeah, I think more than anything, I think if you hear nothing else today, as you are a leader, God has called you, equipped you, and placed you exactly where he needs you to be. You didn't miss it. You're not in the wrong place. You didn't make a wrong turn. You didn't miss all the signs. Like, you are exactly where you thought you might be? Well, maybe not. It could be different, right? We talked about different. It could be different, but that's okay, because you are exactly where he wants you to be for right now. That doesn't mean he's going to leave you there. So embrace it, own it, and say, okay, God, so I'm at this job, I'm at this place, I'm at this school, I'm in this community, whatever it is, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Here I am, Lord, send me. And not because you have a huge social media following, or you have a fancy title, or a big office and a huge staff, you know, or you have an Ivy League degree or anything like that, but because you are a child of God and he has called you and equipped you for such a time as this. So go mm-hmm. do the work that he's called you to do.
So good. So good. Really, really great conversation. I think that my final words of encouragement, just really reinforcing everything that Melissa just so beautifully shared, is that I think I speak for her also, that we just want you to feel less alone in mm-hmm. leadership, and that we all go through different struggles and different seasons that are harder than other seasons. And we just want you to know that some of the things that you are experiencing, that you're not alone in that, that there are other people who are either currently walking through them or have walked through them. So you're not alone. And I just think that there's this piece of where we can begin to feel isolated, that I'm the only one that is struggling with this. And we just want to reassure you that you are not. So I hope that this in conversation added value to your life. Know that you are fully and completely loved right now. God could not love you any more than he loves you right now at this very moment. We believe in you, we're believing for you, and we're championing you forward in all the things that God has for you. Have a great rest of your week, and I will catch you right back here next time. Thank you so much for joining me this week. It was great connecting with you. Hey, would you do me a quick favor that would mean the world to me? Would you go ahead and leave a few stars and a review or even a comment? It not only means so much to me, but in the online space and the podcasting world, the more stars, reviews, and comments that a podcast receives, the further the reach. It ranks up a little bit higher in Google searches, which then results in reaching more women with this amazing content. So if you are blessed and enjoying, you know, just the content that you are hearing here on the podcast, would you go ahead and leave a few stars, a review, and some comments? It means the world to me. Thank you so much, and I'll catch you right back here, same place, same time next week.